Anybody in here ready for some cooler weather?
Amen.
Okay, just making sure it wasn't me. Last week, or not this past week, week before last, when we were in Philadelphia, it was hot. Y'all might say, how can it be hot in Philadelphia? Because where we stayed had no air conditioning. Yeah, feel sympathy for us. That's right, missionaries with no air conditioning. And today, running around, getting into the waiters and getting out of the waiters, I'm sweating up here like a holiness preacher at a tent revival meeting. I'm telling you, it's something. But that's why I got my fan going. I'm going to have to turn my fan up. Anyway, we're going to get started by going to the Lord in a word of prayer, so please bow with me at this time. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence, and we thank you for each and everyone who is here. Father God, I am grateful for the mission trip that you sent us on. I am grateful for the lives that were touched, and that includes our own. I am grateful for those who came and served here, Lord, through Mission Serve. And Lord, I am grateful for all these who are here today to worship. Lord, as we look at your word and as we listen to testimonies today, we pray that our hearts and minds would be open to you. Father, speak to us in a way that we can hear and understand and will listen to, we pray. And Father, we pray that you will forever change us for being in your presence. Lord God, you have a heart of love for all mankind, for all humanity. And when we look at ourselves and we look at the world around us, we honestly have to wonder why. But Father, you are our Father, and you love us as a father loves his children. And we are precious to you. You're not going to put up with our foolishness, but you love us. And so your love went beyond the extra mile. It went beyond the grave to redeem us. And so, Father, help us to love you and help us to love others in a way that honors you. Speak to us now, we pray, and help us to listen. For we ask it all in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. We are going to be talking about world changers this morning, but if you have your Bibles, you can see I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles with me to the book of John chapter 4, and I'm going to read through this passage of Scripture, and then we're going to do something a little bit different, not too terribly different. We've done it before. I'm not going to ask you all to stand this morning because, as my own son pointed out to me, he said, Dad, I guess we're going to be sitting down for the Scripture reading this morning because that's a long passage. I said, well, I could have you all stand up, but I'll be nice, and I won't. So let us read the Word of God together in John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, please feel free to use the pew Bibles there in the pew backs in front of you. If you're using electronic devices, know that I'm reading from the New International Version translation of the Bible. It says, starting in verse 1 of John chapter 4, Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea, which is in the south, and went back once more to Galilee, which is in the north. Now he had, notice that word, he had to go through Samaria. If you look at a map of ancient Israel, Judea is in the south, Galilee is in the north, Samaria is right in the middle. And most Jewish people would go around Samaria if they were going south to north or north to south because they did not want to deal with the Samaritans. But here in verse 4 we read, now he had to go through Samaria. It was the shortest route, but he did something, Jesus did something that most people didn't do. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Y'all remember Jacob would later be renamed what? Israel, that's right. Jacob had given to his son Joseph, that is the Joseph of the coat of many colors, Joseph who became second only to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that Joseph. So he comes to this plot of ground, and Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. You can rest assured, Jesus knew hot, it's Israel, there is no air conditioning, and it's noontime. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Well, That was true. Jews did not associate with Samaritans. We'll talk about that in just a second. But men did not talk to women that weren't related to them somehow. For a Jewish man to speak to a Samaritan woman in any context was unheard of. It did not happen. Y'all say did not. And for a Jewish man to speak to a Samaritan. Now, these days we are much more inclusive in our society. We are much more understanding about life and relationships and this, that, and the other. And today we would refer to the Samaritans as probably biracial or something like that, because the Samaritans were a race of people that were part Jewish, but they were part something else. Amalekite, Edomite, Moabite, insert your ite family here. And it was Jews that had intermarried with all these other races, these pagan races. And the pure Jews, if you will, they considered Samaritans to be, and this is very politically incorrect, they considered them to be half-breeds. They did not want to have anything to do with them. They were unclean, they were unwanted, they were unwelcome. And you have to remember, too, Jewish society. When you think about Jewish society, you can be Jewish by birth, which these Jews obviously were, but Judaism is also a religion and a political system and an economic system. And so everything is wrapped up in being a Jew. And if you weren't 100% Jew, they didn't have no use for you. So we get back here, and Jesus is speaking to a Samaritan woman, which is just completely unheard of. Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Now Jesus is already trying to shift the conversation to spiritual matters, but the woman's not quite catching it here. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" She's thinking water. And that's not what Jesus is talking about. "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Well, yeah, he is. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water," again, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." He's talking about spiritual matters. "The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, Go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus busts her. Jesus said to her, You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Well, he's got her attention now. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." All right, she's not quite ready really to talk about spiritual matters yet, but she's ready to talk about religious things. But Jesus is still getting back to a spiritual point. "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. Just then the disciples returned." Oh, well, aren't we all glad about that? Here comes this really educated group of guys that have been following him for all this time. And they're surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked him, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Why didn't they say that? Because he is their master and they're not going to push him on it. Although they don't quite understand. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, now get this, she goes back to town and says, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Verse 30. they came out of the town and made their way toward him. So this Samaritan town is now coming out. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Well, there again, he's talking spiritually. They're thinking, "Have a sandwich." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Remember, Jesus also tells us elsewhere in the gospel, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So my food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. How can he say this? The town is coming out to meet him. And he's telling these 12 guys, open your eyes and see the fields in front of you. And no, I'm not talking about the wheat fields, boys. I'm talking about the people here. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So the Samaritans came to him and they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. If it was unheard of for a Samaritan woman and a Jewish man to speak at a well, it is completely unfathomable for a Jewish man and these 12 other guys with him, these 12 other Jewish guys, to spend 2 days in Samaria when most people wouldn't even go through the area. But he stayed with them 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is," get this, "the Savior of the world." This is a well-known passage. Why do I bring it up today? In just a few moments, I'm going to have the young people that went with us to Philadelphia, or that went to Philadelphia, get up here and talk. I'm not going to have them stand behind the stick because they don't want to stand behind the pulpit, so we'll have them stand down in front. That's fine. But I have known for about 2 weeks now that I was going to reference this passage of Scripture on this day. I feel that it's very important for those who go out on mission to come back and tell the church what God has done. It's important for y'all to know. It's important for y'all to see. It's important for y'all to hear. And I bring this passage of Scripture up because sometimes when you talk about mission work, some people's eyes glaze over and they don't really get it and they don't really care. And I don't really understand why, but that's okay. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. This is America. But I want you to understand and see the heart of God for mission work, even in a situation like this. Now, what originally got my point of view, got my attention, was obviously Jesus talking about open your eyes and look at the fields. But even just a little while ago, we watched a video that Scott had played after the choir sign. And although the word mission was not used in that video, that was the intent, I guess you would say, behind the video, because God stepped out of heaven into history and interjected himself into our lives. And you may not think about it like that, but Jesus left heaven on mission to find you and I. And for 33 and a half years, he lived on mission. And you see it here in chapter 4, in verse 4. Now, he had to go through Samaria. Why? Did he have to go through Samaria because it was the shortest route? Well, he could have walked around like everybody else, but he chose not to. He had to go through Samaria. Did he have to go through Samaria to meet this woman? Was it all for this woman? I don't know that it was all for this woman, but it was partially for this woman. Because if he had not gone through Samaria, he would not have spoken to this woman. And if Jesus had not have spoken to this woman, she would not have talked to the townspeople. And if she had not spoken to the townspeople, they would not have come out to hear him, and they would not have realized that this man is the Savior of the world. Jesus had to go through Samaria. I guarantee you, his 12 buddies weren't real happy about it. Why? Because they're good Jewish boys and they didn't want to be there. And so they go along with their master and they do what they're supposed to do. And they're going to get food and they come back and they're talking to Jesus about eating something. And Jesus tells them that my food is to do the will of him who sent me, i.e. God the Father, and to finish his work. And as the town is coming out, Jesus says, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. We as Christians in America walk through our lives a lot of times with blinders on. Let me tell you a little story. Every night, and I'm not real good about this when we're at World Changers, every night we're supposed to meet as our own church group for youth group devotions. Now they have worship services and devotion time with your teams that you go out and you work with, this, that, and the other, but you're supposed to meet every night as a church group and have devotions. And sometimes I admit I can be a little sketchy on those because I'm getting older and I'm getting fatter and I like to rest and I don't always want to meet again and meet and meet and meet. And in Philadelphia this year, like I said, the rooms that we stayed in were unair-conditioned. I don't know when the last time was any of y'all stayed in an unair-conditioned room on a hot July night with just fans blowing on you, but it's not that cool. So we would meet in the church bus. You know why we met in the church bus? Air conditioning, that's right. God bless air conditioning. I love the fact that we just got that thing charged before we went to Philadelphia too. We turned it in there and it almost snowed on us and we all loved it. So we're sitting in there one night and we're talking about Philadelphia. Now, I have been around the world. I've been to Central America, I've been to Europe, I've been to Asia. And I have seen lostness and hopelessness around the world. I've been to big cities before. But this time was something different. We went downtown Philadelphia. We went in areas of Philadelphia that they told us, do not stay past 4 o'clock. First of all, they said you don't want to get caught in rush hour traffic in Philadelphia. It took us an hour to go 9 miles. And that's not rush hour, that's just regular traffic. An hour to go 9 miles. But the other reason they said we had to be gone by 4 o'clock was these neighborhoods weren't safe for us once it got dark. Now, I've been doing World Changes for a lot of years, and I have never been told that before. I told some of the girls on the team that I led as the crew chief, they wanted to go prayer walking, and I said no. And they said, why not? And I told them, I said, look, I'm 5'10", I weigh 240 pounds. I said, I'm trained in martial arts. I have a couple of knives on me. Normally, I carry a pistol. I said, I didn't have a pistol with me because you do not carry concealed weapons in Pennsylvania if you do not have a Pennsylvania concealed weapons permit. I said, I do not feel safe in these neighborhoods. I am not sending you into these neighborhoods. I'm not doing it because it is my responsibility as your crew chief to get you back to your crew, to get you back to your youth group, so that y'all can go home with all your fingers and all your toes and everything in place like it's supposed to be. Getting back to where we were, we would meet and we would have our devotions. And I've told you I've seen lostness and hopelessness in people's eyes in other parts of the world. And for the first time, really, as we're there in Philly, I see it in the eyes of the people in America. We saw it in the eyes of the people at the work sites. We saw it in the eyes of the people in the neighborhoods. Hopelessness. And just row after row after row after row after house after house after house after building and concrete and asphalt. No trees, no grass, no nothing like that. And I'm claustrophobic, and it was getting to me because there was nowhere you could go that was not just inundated with people, 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 people. And yet, we were there to share the love of God. We were there to help those who needed some help. And we realized, because we talked about it, I remember Abby and I talked about it a little bit specifically. I call her goats now, but anyway, y'all have to ask her why. We talked about how we as people put blinders on. We go through our life with blinders on, just looking at what we want to look at, and we don't see the lostness around us. But my friends, you don't have to be in Philadelphia to see lostness and hopelessness in people's eyes. If you take your blinders off, you see it here in Walterboro. At the Walmart, at the Burger King, you see it all over the place. And we can't walk through our lives with blinders on. We have to open our eyes and see the harvest that is before us. Whether we're in Walterboro or Philadelphia or wherever we are. Because God came on mission to find us. And He sends us on mission in our own backyard and in our state and in our nation and in this world to be on mission for Him. Now I'm going to show you a little video from World Changers this year. I didn't make it, and so that means it's going to be good. And then after the video, the young people are going to come talk. So Owen, let's see it.
We are here to spread the gospel in Philadelphia, and we came on a mission trip, and we would just like to spread the gospel and get to know the people of Philadelphia and hopefully help them reach Jesus. Serving in Philadelphia to serve others and just help them wherever they need it and bring others to Christ and show the love of God and just love on others wherever they need it to have a good time. Thank you.
I'm here because I want to serve the one true living God this week. At this church, we are doing drywall, we're doing flooring, and we're patching up holes and doing a lot of weeding and gardening. Doing these things just allows me to connect with a lot of people, the crewmates, the people in the neighborhood, the host homes, everyone, and allow me to make connections there and learn more about people's lives and also learn more about myself and growing in my faith in Christ. After yesterday, we went to like a little VBS type setting in a neighborhood, and it was definitely a little sketchy, but it was really cool to see how we did like a lesson and a song, and how the children were actually, they all listened, they were answering the questions right, and doing the little game that we had for them, and that was really cool to see them just knowing that Jesus is the center and that's what we're preaching to them. So that was really cool.
We were in Philadelphia and we had just gotten our Philly cheesesteaks, and we were on our way back and we talked to a man named John, and he was standing on the front of his porch, and we got to share the gospel with him. That was super cool. So.
Hammerheads.
Right angles!
If you were wondering what some of those things were that they were saying, when we have crews, come on down, y'all, young people, and babe. when we go to the work sites, they break up the churches, and so we work with a bunch of kids from Virginia, and everybody works with different people from different states, and they give us weird names, our crew names, right angles and cool caulkers and saw teeth and things that you look at and go, oh, that's painful, it hurts so bad. But that's what some of those kids were hollering. So, were the names of their groups. So, all right, which end are we going to start on? We're going to start down here. And Noah, all right, talk to the church, Noah.
I was on a crew with 8 people. It was Emmett and Leanne, and we were painting a church that in its extra buildings, and we had a good time. I like walking around telling people about God and just sharing the gospel. And thank you for everybody that helped us go on this trip. It was really fun, and I'm glad to go next year, and I'm happy to go next year.
Well,
The church we went to was called Great Commission Church. We painted it from reddish beige to grayish blue. I painted the roof. That was kind of fun. The people we worked with were kind of cool. I really can't think of anything else to say. I had a fun time, and yeah, that's about it.
That'll work.
Where we were working, at a place called Helping Hands Rescue Mission, and it was an outreach program for homeless people. And we met a few people, but I don't really remember a lot of them. But what stood out the most to me in the week that we were working was the very last day, there was a man who worked there, and his name was Jim, I think. Is that his name? Jim, yes. And he was telling us before we left, he was thanking us for coming, and he was telling us that Christian life is a life of service. And to be a Christian, you have to go and to serve, even when it's uncomfortable, especially when you don't want to, and even to places that don't specifically feel safe. And that really touched me, because service is something that we all know we need to do as Christians, but it's not always something that we want to do. And I don't really like talking to people or going places that aren't my house. So it was a little bit different and a little bit difficult, but in the end, it was very fun, and I'm very excited for Houston next year.
I am going to say one thing about the building that Kendall was working in. We worked on a different church and went the last day, the crew that Shelly and I were on, we went the last day to the building the Helping Hands was in. The new part of the building, get this, the new part of the building was built during the Civil War. Okay? That was the new part of the building that they were working on. It's hard for us to realize that living down here in the Deep South where termites take away everything and nothing's terribly old, there are buildings in Philadelphia that, you know, are hundreds of years old that are being repurposed and repurposed and repurposed and repurposed because it would literally cost more to demolish them and build a new one than it. Well, I remember when we looked at Philadelphia, when we went on the tour of Philadelphia, they had talked about tearing down the original Philadelphia City Hall, but they would have had to do it brick by brick. And so you want to talk about cost prohibitive. It was just cheaper to try and refurbish it and leave it there than to build a new one, which would supposedly save money. So these buildings that these young people are working in are old buildings. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so I had a really good time in Philadelphia. It definitely opened my eyes to a lot of things that I wouldn't have seen if I hadn't have gone. Like Kendall said, I was working with Kendall. So we were at this building and everything. And I think sometimes when we go, we think, oh, I'm not going to make an impact here. You know, I'm going to be here for a week and then I'm leaving. You know, not going to do anything. But I like to think that we have had an impact because of us. You know, they have new paint. The place we were at has new hardwood floors on the third floor. Trash has been cleaned out. Kendall and I actually helped start a mural, which I think is really, really cool, because when this is finally done, we can look at it and say, hey, I helped lay the ground for this. And I think that's why it's really important to go on these trips and why I'm always really excited to go, because we can make an impact, and where we can, we should. That's the whole point. So I had a really good time on this trip, and I really hope that the people we reached out to remember us and remember what we were here for. And thank you all for sending us, because this was a really good time. Okay, so we were working on like a church and then another building, but we had, what is it, a crew from Virginia. It was like our entire crew, and they were decent. Oh. But we had to like put up drywall, and I had to do a floor, like the underlaying of a floor. And that part doesn't really bother me, because like I don't mind talking to people, I don't mind like doing the work. But there were so many people in the city, it was like there was no space for anything, and like everybody was just crowded. And I guess they're used to that, because they're like, I don't know, it's just weird, because like some people are just raised so differently. So like to me, to see like how these people from the city, they like they're so used to like living on top of each other, that there was like no room for like me to go. There was like the preacher said, there was like grass. Like we couldn't see any grass. And it was just weird to see like how differently people are raised than us from here. So,
this was year 6 for me, and it was definitely one of the more unique World Changers experiences. We worked on Greater White Rock Baptist Church, which was down the street from White Rock Baptist Church. So if you're going to do a split, go big or go home, right? But we put down underlayment on floors, scraped up some lovely asbestos tiles. That's great for my lungs. There were 70 nails per board across a rather large room, and we didn't have a nail gun. It was just on our knees with the hammers for a good day and a half. So that was pretty interesting, and we helped put up a bunch of sheetrock, tore down a plaster wall, covered up a hole it went straight through to the basement in the church, so you probably wouldn't have wanted to walk over it. But overall, I think we had a pretty big impact on the church as a whole and the people we spoke to that week, so I think it went pretty well, and thank you guys for sending us.
Makes you like appreciate Walterboro, because I didn't think it would be too bad, but like kind of sketchy because the people were there were not always nice, but that's okay. But it really makes you appreciate Walterboro because it shows you the differences, and that's all.
I want to thank you for sending us, for sending the kids, for supporting the fundraisers that we did. I think, is this the third or the fourth time?
It's third one here.
Third time we've gone here with these kids. And Noah and Emmett and Leanne, this was their first time. And I think they were a little nervous about what it was going to be like and what they were going to have to do. And I think the kids that had been before had told them, oh, the food's going to be horrible. It's going to be this, it's going to be that, and really gave them a hard time about it. But I think everybody had a good time. I think everybody will want to go again. And I think that this impacted these kids' lives. Like they've said, they realized, Noah said, particularly one night, boy, this makes you appreciate Walterboro. And, you know, I grew up in a town even smaller than Walterboro, and I couldn't wait to get out. I was never going back. It was just the worst place on the planet, you know. But I didn't get out and see things like these kids are seeing, to come home and appreciate that when you're riding down the road, people wave at you. And when you see people at Walmart, you know people, and they say hello, and how's your mom, and how's school, and all those things that make home home. And they got to experience that, and you helped. So thank you.
All right, y'all can go sit down. Which they're very happy about, being able to go sit down. And I'll tell you that every mission trip is different. And if you've ever been on them, you know that's true. And you have to be flexible because you don't know what you're going to do or who you're going to see or what opportunities are going to present themselves. But one of the biggest things that I think our young people learned again, and I think it's important for them to learn and for all of us to remember, is obedience. We don't go because it's glamorous. We don't go because it's a vacation, because trust me, it's not a vacation. And anybody that thinks that it is a vacation, I invite you to come with us next year to Houston, Texas, and sleep for a week on an air mattress on a floor, hopefully in an air-conditioned room, and eat in cafeterias with a bunch of children like you do in high school, and work all day and go to worship services all night and do it for a solid week and then drive 1,000 miles. So, it's not a vacation, but we go because we're told. We go because there's a need. We go because Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. I'm proud of these young people for going. I'm thankful for the ones that have gone in the past. We missed you, Shalisa, but I'm looking forward to you being with us next year and suffering right along like you did before. And so that's going to be good. And anybody that wants to go, you were invited to go, because we are planning on going to Houston, Texas next year. The young people picked that. I've had some people ask me, go, why Houston? I don't know. They said Houston, so I said, okay. And now that I am no longer the acting youth director, because it's now Bubba and Mickey, they're going to go too. So. But I do want to close this up today with giving an invitation. So how do you give an invitation after something like this, Kevin? Well, I don't know what the Lord's been laying on your heart. Maybe you feel the need to come and pray about what God would have you to do. Maybe there are missionaries that you know of that the Lord would have you to pray for. I think about Eric and Aaron Sumner. They live on mission every day in a foreign country. But truth be told, all of us are to be on mission every day right where we are. And so maybe we need to pray that God would take the blinders off for us and help us to see the fields that are white unto the harvest all around us. Or maybe you need to come this morning and pray about someone else or something else that's going on in your life. Or maybe you want to join the church by moving your letter or statement of faith, or, you know, who knows. But as the Lord would lead, I invite you to come as we sing. So let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and this time and all who are here. And I thank you for these young missionaries, Lord, and I pray that you would help them to live a life that is on mission, whether it be at home or at work or at school or somewhere here in the States or somewhere around the world. Help us all, Father, to be at mission, on mission all the time. Help us to see the fields that are white unto the harvest. And Lord, help us to do the hard work, because we know that some plant and some water, but only you can make it grow. And Father, help us to be willing to do whatever needs to be done, so that many souls will be brought into the kingdom of God for their good, for our good, but ultimately for your glory. Father, we love you and we thank you. And we pray all these things in the worthy name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You've heard the invitation as we stand to sing hymn number 544. If you want someone to pray with you or for you, I'm going to be standing down front. If you want to use these steps as an open, what do we got? Somebody's hollering at me. Go ahead. Philadelphia is a place, they need prayer, they need help, they need work. You come as we sing.